Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to look at the nature of saving faith. And I believe today in our churches we've substituted the truth about faith for, I would say, more of a dead faith, a lifeless, non-obedient kind of assent to intellectual facts. And that's really not the nature of saving faith according to the scriptures. So let's look today in James chapter 2, and it might be quite surprising, Martin Luther, that hated the book of James. I don't know if I should say hate, but he did not like the book of James. He wanted it. He put it in the back of his Bible. Men, when we follow men and we think, oh, the revelation of so-and-so and this and that. When we follow men, we get ourselves in trouble. I don't care who they are. And Martin Luther might have had some things that were that we needed to see. But, you know, when you start taking the Word of God and wanting to take it out of its setting, I think it's a dangerous era. So we're going to look and see the nature of faith. And it might help us to understand more of our Christian walk. All right. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, I've got a new King James NIV parallel Bible here. And so I'll just kind of be going back and forth. So we start in verse 14 of James 2, and we'll read to the end of the chapter in verse 26. And James here says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith, but has no deeds, has no works, can such faith save them? Now there's a question. If a person claims to have faith, but he has no deeds, he has no works, he has nothing to back up his claims, can that kind of faith save someone? And it's implied within that question that no, it cannot save them. Let's go on to read. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. Here they are, they're destitute, they need clothing, they're hungry. And then someone says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? It doesn't feed that person that is starving. It doesn't clothe their cold body in the winter when they are destitute and don't have enough clothing. And you say, just go on your way, be fed and be warm. Can that help that person at all? That is, what good is that? And that's what James is saying about faith. People that claim to have faith, and yet they just sit in their church Sunday after Sunday and year after year, and they do nothing to apply their Christianity in a practical way. What kind of faith is that? Well, we'll find out what it is. James here calls it a dead faith. You can't be a Christian with dead faith. James is going to go on to say the devils believe and tremble. You can't be a Christian with demons' faith, with intellectual assent of facts, without application of a moving in a totally new direction because faith is compelling you to do so in obedience to God. Let's go on here. It says, verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. The King James says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James is talking about a faith that is alone. And he's saying that faith that is alone is only an intellectual assent to something. It's alone. It has no action. It has no movement. It has no obedience. And therefore, he's going to say here, it is useless. All right. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. You cannot show faith without some kind of corresponding action or works. And then it goes on to say, but I will show you my faith by what I do. I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, there's a great misunderstanding in the body of Christ today about works, because anytime you mention works, oh, works, works, you know, we're not saved by works. No, you're not saved by works of the law. That's what Paul said. You're not saved by things that you do to try to earn forgiveness, earn your righteousness. You cannot be saved by works of righteousness you do. But saving faith is a faith that does work, and it's a demonstration of one's faith. It is obedience to God, and it does things. I want to, before I go on here in James, let's look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and it is the faith chapter of the Bible. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There was a word from God, and Abel obeyed God in bringing a sacrifice of the blood of animals, and Cain offered his own works of his hands. And God did not accept Cain's offering, but he accepted Abel's. All right? But Abel offered by faith and obedience to God the sacrifice that God accepted. Faith did something. If Abel had not obeyed, if Abel had not offered a sacrifice, he'd have dead faith, even though he had the information and the facts. Notice what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What if Noah just says, oh yeah, God, I believe you said, yeah, there's going to be a flood and it's going to destroy the world. But, you know, I'm kind of busy right now. I don't want to take the time to prepare an ark. And he did nothing. You know what kind of faith he'd have? He'd have dead faith like many people have today. And he would not have been saved. He would have perished and his family would have perished in the flood. But by faith, his faith obeyed God and he prepared an ark for the saving of his soul. Notice in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, obeyed. How did Abraham obey? He obeyed by faith. Oh, we don't like that. We don't want to think. We don't want to think anything like obedience or anything like that. Well, that's works. No. By faith, Abraham obeyed. It was an obedience that came from faith. The Apostle Paul says that over and over in Romans chapter 1. He's calling people to the obedience that comes from faith. And he said that more than one time. As we go on in Hebrews chapter 11, many people died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them. They were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. They were faithful to God because they saw him who cannot be seen. How'd they do that? They did it by faith. They desired a heavenly country, a better country, a heavenly country. Notice what it says in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, he offered up Isaac. And in so doing, the scripture was really fulfilled that said Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So his faith was tested and it found to be true and genuine saving faith. And he obeyed and he offered up his son Isaac that God had promised, and God brought him back from the dead in a figure. And then we go on through Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer by his faith. Through faith, he chose to suffer with the affliction, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What caused him to turn away from sin and to not enjoy the pleasures of sin? Those momentary pleasures? It was his faith that caused him to turn away from sin and to obey God. Verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he'd rather suffer for the cause of Christ and turn away from sin and its pleasures than to enjoy the pleasures of sin just for a small time. What did that in his life? It was saving faith. Do you see the nature of the saving faith? It says in verse 27, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, and he endured because his faith allowed him to see him who is invisible. God, you are so real. I see. I believe. And because I believe in you, it turned him away from sin, and it turned him to continue to follow the Lord faithful until the end. By faith, he kept the Passover. What if he said, oh yeah, I believe, yeah, the death angel will come tonight, but I'm just too busy to put the blood on the door and go through all that Passover ceremony. He would have perished. But his faith in obedience to what God had said caused him to put the blood on the doorpost, and those children of Israel were saved, whereas the children of Egypt were destroyed and died. Says in verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. It was by faith they obeyed God, and God opened and delivered them from their enemies. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down when it was compassed about for 7 days. God said, walk around that walls of Jericho for 7 days. What good would that do? No, I don't think I want to do that. I'm tired. We're kind of tired. We don't want to do any of that physical exercise. We don't want to walk around that city. You know what? They would have perished. It's like Nahum. I don't want to go down in that river and dip 7 times because, you know, that muddy, there's better rivers to dip in. But because of the obedience of faith, they get the results of faith. He was delivered from his leprosy, wasn't he? By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. By faith, Rahab did not perish, the harlot. They came into the city to destroy it. She said, I believe in the true and living Jehovah. Spare me and my home. And they said, if you'll throw out this scarlet rope out your window, and that will identify your home, we will spare you. But if you do not throw that rope out, your own destruction is upon your own head. Faith does something. What if Rahab said, I just don't have time to throw a rope out there. I just don't want to do that. Faith causes people to move and to do, to obey God. We're not talking about works of the law, earning salvation. You're saved by grace. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you have a faith that is dead, then all the grace of God available to you, you've never entered into, because you have access by faith into that grace. We're talking about the kind of faith that gets access into God's grace. It says, through faith, all of these ones, the heroes of faith, subdued kingdoms, and they, out of weakness, they were made strong, and some of them were tortured and didn't accept their deliverance in this life, looking for a resurrection to come. They wandered about in deserts and mountains and caves of the earth. These all having obtained a good report through faith. Some of them didn't receive the promise in this life, but God had provided something better for them in the world to come. See, that's the nature of faith. Now, back here to James, it says, in verse 18, show me your faith without your deeds. I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You can't be a Christian with demons' faith. You can't be a Christian and just have intellectual assent. You've got to have the faith that moves you towards God, to follow Him, to repent, and to accept the rule and reign of God. Shall we sin because we're under grace? No. Shall we continue in sin? No. Shall we sin? No. What turns us away from that sin? Our faith in Christ and His redeeming work. That's true faith. That's true faith. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? I'm going to read it out of the King James. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? It's saying that, well, let's just read on and say, you seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. If he'd have had a faith that didn't have works with it, that is the works of faith, not the works of the law, works of faith with it, then he wouldn't have had saving faith. And he wouldn't have had the true nature of faith that the Bible talks about. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he's a friend of God. You see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. What is he talking about? A faith only is an intellectual assent faith that has no action with it, but a faith that has works with it in obedience to God and His command is the kind of faith that is true faith. That's what James is saying. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? We talked about that. If she hadn't put that rope out of the window, she wouldn't have been saved. For as the body without the spirit is dead, it's just a dead corpse. If you have a faith that doesn't have an action towards God and His way, your faith is dead. We've got to re-examine faith. You know, so many people have the creed of, I believe, Jesus died and He was buried and rose again, but it doesn't cause them to accept the rule and reign of God in their life. It doesn't move them in another direction. It doesn't produce the good works that God has ordained us to work in. Well, then that your faith is dead. And it's not saving faith. Now, we're out of time today, but we're going to continue to talk about these things a little more in our next session. So God bless you as you consider His word and apply the truths of the word of God. We'll see you tomorrow.